Hi, welcome to the food show.
I'm Todd Caspian. I'm here with Emily Becker. We both love mushrooms. Today we're going to learn about how people grow mushrooms, how to find them in the forest, and how you can learn to grow your own. At the end of the hour, we'll have an update on food and farm policy being discussed in Salem. It's also our KBOO membership drive, so we got some great gifts to share from my restaurant, Aviv. Just call and make a donation during the show.
There are so many delicious mushroom dishes at Aviv. They're really, really good. I grew up eating and liking mushrooms, which is kind of rare for a Midwesterner. But when I first moved to the Northwest, I lived in the forest, and the whole idea of what a mushroom was really changed for me. I remember one day I was at home, and one of my housemates came back from a hike in the woods, and he was super excited. And he asked me to come help him harvest some mushrooms that he found. Which seemed a little bit weird because I'd never thought about eating a mushroom that I found in the forest. And I was a little suspicious that we might poison ourselves. He led me to a spot a little off the trail with several alder trees on the ground, and they were just covered in beautiful oyster mushrooms. We harvested a huge grocery bag full of them, cleaned them, and made a big mushroom feast. And I think that's where my love of mushrooms really comes from, just finding them in the forest and then getting to eat them. What about you, Tal?
For me, owning a vegan restaurant, the best meat alternative I've ever found is one that's not processed at all. It's mushrooms. In the beginning, I didn't really cook a lot of mushrooms. I didn't even really think about that. I just kind of focused on staples. But as we moved towards being a little more of a fine dining restaurant and then cooking things that are in season, we definitely added a ton of mushrooms. And now we're about 25% of our menu is mushrooms. One day, the chef at Willow recommended that I talk to his mushroom guy, Riley. He brought his mushrooms in, and they were the most beautiful mushrooms I've ever seen in my life. I've been buying mushrooms from him for about 6 months, and now we've become good friends. We greet each other with a big old hug when he delivers his mushrooms to the restaurant, and the entire staff gathers around the mushrooms and just stares at them in awe. They are seriously beautiful. And we are lucky to have him here today on the food show. Hi, Riley.
Hey guys.
Riley, how do you say your last name?
70.
70, beautiful last name. Riley 70 owns Mindful Mushrooms. He started growing mushrooms about 10 years ago and began his business in January 2018. Riley grows and sells mushrooms to restaurants and at farmers markets. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
First things first, what is your favorite mushroom?
Out of our cultivated mushrooms, I really enjoy the shiitake mushroom for the overall flavor. It kind of has this rich, sort of umami, buttery, garlicky flavor. For the health benefits, I really enjoy lion's mane and chaga mushroom.
Fantastic.
I don't even know what a chaga is. That's cool.
Tell us what a chaga is.
Yeah, what's it look like?
It's kind of a parasitic mushroom that grows on birch trees. You'll find them in Alaska, Minnesota, Canada, Michigan, Russia, Europe. You'll find them in those types of places, kind of colder climates. And they kind of look like this little growth off of a tree, sort of like black charcoal looking mushroom. And that's kind of what that is.
Cool. How did you discover your love of mushrooms?
I've always been fascinated by alternative medicine. I cultivated as a hobby while I was attending college. And after I graduated with a bachelor's in nutrition, I moved to Utah to work under an herbalist. And then fast forward, I moved to San Francisco to work at the whole body department at Whole Foods. And then I was selected one out of two employees to watch Paul Stamets speak. And that really resonated with me. And I realized there's just a whole world of mushrooms. And up until that point, I had just breached the surface. So I just started diving into books, articles, basically anything I could get my hands on, and just researched as much as I could. And that's kind of what kind of started the whole love of mushrooms for me.
How did you turn that love of mushrooms into a business?
Well, that's kind of a funny story. I originally was going to train my dogs to sniff out truffles, and I was going to start kind of a truffle business. But then the more I thought about it, I realized I was more interested in the cultivation process and kind of studying how each species grow. So kind of, that's kind of how I started the business there. I just realized I wanted to grow them and kind of watched them grow. And I'm sort of more into the cultivation process than the foraging process, but of course I love both. So,
So from starting that business to actually making it viable and growing it, like, tell us more about that process.
Oh, yeah. So, well, starting up the business, I didn't really have much money to work with. And I wasn't really ready to risk taking out, you know, business loans and things like that. So I started kind of building everything by hand and from scratch as much as I could. So basically, you need things like a laminar flow hood, which is something that draws air through a HEPA filter, which prevents contamination. So I built that. I built humidifiers. I built the greenhouse. A lot of people use mixers that have motors in them, and I actually just bought a compost tumbler and manually tumbled the substrate myself. So just basically starting really small and then working my way from there. And I also had a partner who helped me build all these things, so it kind of went kind of relatively quickly and smoothly. Yeah.
And how do you get your mushrooms to the public?
Deliver to a few restaurants in town, but also we are going to be at 4 different farmers markets this year. We're going to be at the Moreland Market, St. John's Market, the Montevilla Market, and the Oregon City Market. So you can find us at those markets.
So you make, you grow mushrooms and you sell them whole, but you make other products too, right? I see like this bag of powder in front of me.
Yes.
What is this?
Yes. So we will dry and powder our mushrooms so that the public can kind of use them and make teas. They can make their own tinctures. Those are kind of the medicinal mushrooms like chaga, turkey tail, and reishi. And then we also make tinctures. We cook with them. We make tea. We clone mushrooms. I'll go out foraging. And I'll find, you know, an oyster mushroom or a reishi mushroom that really looks just amazing. And I'll clone that and then I'll start growing that myself. So that's kind of what we do.
Can you tell us what restaurants carry your mushrooms?
Definitely Aviv, top mushroom for us, restaurant for us. We've sold our mushrooms at Willow, Radar, Muka, Osteria, Ataula. I think those are the main restaurants we've sold our mushrooms to.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the health benefits of mushrooms? I know you're really into the healing properties of mushrooms.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I brought some chaga here today. This is one of my favorite medicinal mushrooms that we offer. It actually has the highest auric score. Auric score is kind of a score that explains sort of the antioxidant capacity of food. And chaga actually has more antioxidants than the highest rated berries.
And why would people want antioxidants?
Just a great boost for your immune system. It's good for inflammation, kind of fights off those radicals in your free radicals in your body. So that's really good. But, you know, in general, mushrooms, they're high in antioxidants. They have relatively high protein and fiber. They're also packed with vitamins and minerals. They do boost the immune system. They can support cardiovascular health. And they also have detoxifying effects. And as a vegetarian, I use a lot of mushrooms to substitute meat, as Tal mentioned earlier. So,
how would one use the powder?
Well, it kind of depends. If you have a gourmet powder, such as shiitake, oyster, you can just sprinkle that on your food. But with the mushrooms like the medicinal mushrooms like chaga, turkey tail, and reishi, you're going to want to steep that and make a tea. The mushrooms have a fiber called chitin, and they're actually indigestible in the human body. So it's actually really good to heat them and break down that cell wall, which makes them bioavailable to our bodies. So you just make a tea out of them.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today, Riley. It's
Absolutely.
Been really wonderful to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Just we've got like 30 seconds. Tell me what your favorite, craziest mushroom is.
Oh, I would say lion's mane, just for the overall medicinal benefits. They have neuroregenerative properties and nerve regeneration properties. And so it's really good for your brain. And I think that's probably my favorite mushroom.
Awesome. We're just going to take a short break. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yep.
And you are listening to The Food Show on KABU, your community radio station. I'm Ani. I'm here with Gwen. And right now is the time for you to dial 877-500-5266 or to go online at kboo.fm and say yes to The Food Show, yes to your community radio station, yes to your access to this kind of information coming to you. It's vital to our health. It's vital to our community. The Food Show really looks at the interactions between social justice and food, agriculture and health. These are, I have to say, topics that actually have impact on our daily lives like few others do, right? And so you can get so much information about sustainability and healthier living and tasty food options here on The Food Show. It's brought to you every third Wednesday of the month, 11 to noon. And we thank Emily and Tal for doing that and for being the producers. And now we want to thank you for being one of the grassroots sponsors of The Food Show by becoming a KABU member right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call or online at kboo.fm. I know that we have so many reasons to give to KABU. Find yours and give right now. 877-500-5266.
Absolutely, Ani, and help us keep these programs coming to you, the listeners, and to all of our members. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. You know, bringing these locally produced shows, this show's on once a month. There's a whole bunch of shows that are on every week, once a month. They're all bringing you information that, you know, you're just not going to hear anywhere else. 877-500-5266. We are asking for, what are we asking for, Ani?
We are asking for your support and your support. Membership right now. And you know, if you're able to contribute $200, think about that. We would be ever so gratefully accepting of it. And in fact, would love to thank you with a $25 gift certificate to Aviv, a vegan restaurant that has, again, provided these generous gift certificates to help maybe push you over the edge. You've been thinking about making that call that makes a difference. And now is your time to do it. Please, again, pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. With your contribution of $200, we would love to thank you with a gift certificate to Aviv. Online, you can get a membership at kboo.fm, but I don't think you can get those gift certificates. You'll have to pick up the phone for that. That's 877-500-5266. You can also come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're a half block south of Burnside, and that way you could get a tour of the studio and see exactly how community radio is made with your support. Please connect back in and fill in the gap. It's a reciprocal relationship that is community radio, and we're asking you to do your part right now. Please, again, join us. You can become a sustaining member of KABU by giving a little bit every month, or you can, in fact, give a lump sum all at once. However you would like to do it, we are here. We are your community radio station, and you are our grassroots support. So please fill in that gap and call 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
So that gift certificate, you know, it's easy. It's right here. It's waiting for you. You know, that's a great restaurant, too. 877-500-5266. We've been listening to The Food Show, a conversation about mushrooms, growing mushrooms, picking mushrooms, an amazing amount of information. So give us a call. That $200 a month can be broken up into, you know, monthly payments or all at once, however you'd like to do it. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Become a member. You know,
you can in fact break down that $200 into easy bite-sized pieces of $16 a month. That's right, $16 a month, and you too can become a sustaining member of KABU. And I gotta say, that is the cost of a streaming service. Several of the premium channels that dish up the great shows that you want to watch because whatever. But think about what you get with KABU. You are supporting a community media institution that provides free access and training to community members that are passionate about issues, that want to provide programs that you then grow to love and rely on to keep you connected to community. So again, please, right now is a great time to contribute. Consider giving in a monthly way, $16 a month, or all at once, $200. Whichever is easiest for you, please do give us a call right now and become a KABU member, 877-500-5266. I want to thank Somya for renewing her membership and Franny for renewing her membership, Emily for renewing her membership. I want to thank Melanie, a brand new member calling in from Arizona. And I want to thank Linda for becoming a member, joining us online from Ocean Springs. Wow, this is fantastic. We've got a lot of far-out listeners, and we would love to hear from more of you. No matter where you are, know that KABU is your community connection. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Wow. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and supporting KABU and the Food Show. We love to hear all those names called out. Right now, we're joined here in the studio by Jordan Weiss, who's been teaching people how to grow, identify, and cook mushrooms since 2006. He's part of the Oregon Mycological Society, where, among other things, he helps with identification on mushroom hunting trips. Last year, he created a small startup company called Fungibles and makes food-grade mushroom extracts. Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. So we're asking everyone today, what's your favorite mushroom?
Wow, there's so many mushrooms to choose from. I could ask wild or cultivated?
Wild.
Wild. Well, and there's 20 mushrooms that come to mind, but I'm really wild about truffles.
Ooh,
The flavor that truffles impart to the food that they cook and the potential they have to help our rural counties here in Oregon become a little bit more solvent after the realization that cutting down the trees isn't the best policy. It's absolutely something that's going to be very important here in Oregon's future.
So are people cultivating truffles? And I heard something about hazelnuts are really great for growing truffles.
There are a small number of people cultivating truffles. The people that cultivate truffles here in Oregon and the U.S., they've been using the black Perigord truffle. For some reason, that one grows really easily with oaks and hazelnuts and different cultivated trees like that. The time that it takes to produce truffles is, I've heard, from 3 to 17 years. So people who do plant these trees, and if they don't have people pick their truffles or if the animals don't get them too hard, usually they can pick about a pound of truffles per tree for about 50 years.
Wow.
So it's currently, of all the truffles harvested in Oregon, it's probably 1% to 2% of the actual harvest that could happen. So there are tons and tons of commercially viable truffles to be harvested in Oregon. It's just a matter of getting people out there and not ruining, the habitats and having people train enough dogs to where they can start doing a lot of more outreach.
Oh, that's fascinating. How did you first get interested in mushrooms?
I was 12 years old. I was living in Southern California. We had just moved to a new condo complex in Reseda, California. And the lawns that were put down around the tennis courts were about a month old, and it was June, and I was riding my bike home, and I saw a big patch of what turned out to be the green spored parasol. So there are these huge white mushrooms with brown patches, and the gills are kind of grayish-greenish, and there was a huge fairy ring. So all of a sudden, my bike kind of went there without me having much to do with it. I got off my bike, and I sat in the grass, and I watched them for about an hour. So there was people walking by making sure that I didn't eat those mushrooms. And, you know, and I said, okay, fine. I'm not going to eat them. I'm just watching them. And I was just taken aback by their beauty. I was just watching them. And I went to the library the next day. And the books they had on mushrooms in 1979 at the Reseda Library were about 30 years old at that point, and most of the best pictures were torn out. But luckily, I was able to learn about the dichotomous keys and identify that as a poisonous mushroom. So that was my first experience with mushrooms, and after that, it's the mushrooms told me. They spoke to me. They came to me in dreams, a lot of the different ways.
That's cool. So let's talk first about how you can find mushrooms. I know you're an expert. So if somebody was interested in trying to go out and find mushrooms in the forest, like, how should they start out? What should they do first?
Well, let me clarify. An expert is a spurt under pressure. And there are no old mushroom hunters. And there are old mushroom hunters and there are bold mushroom hunters, but there are no old, bold mushroom hunters. Mushrooms are a pretty big part of the natural environment here on Earth. And in Oregon, it's a great place for mushrooms. So, wow. In the springtime, we can go out and we can hunt morels. We can hunt oyster mushrooms. Some people like to pick the inky caps. Sometimes shaggy manes come up in the spring. They also come up in the fall. In the mountains, people find spring king boletes, which are absolutely delicious.
What do they taste like?
Spring king boletes, they're a little bland when fresh, but they concentrate their flavor when dried. So they taste meaty. So, like, I've had friends who've cut up thin slices of bolete on the trail, and we'll soak them in a little vinegar and we'll eat them raw. But you shouldn't eat mushrooms raw because, like Riley said, they have chitin in them and they're really hard to digest unless they've been exposed to heat. In the fall, there's over 50 different mushrooms I collect for the table in the fall. And it's some of the best mushroom hunting in the world from what I've been told.
Great. And for someone who's just starting out, like, how do they stay safe? How do they make sure not to get poisonous mushrooms?
I think the first rule of thumb that people should remember when they're hunting mushrooms for the table or plants or anything else is don't eat anything that you can't safely identify as an edible species. And that said, there's no real shortcuts for identifying mushrooms safely other than knowing each species that you're going to eat. So the old wives' tales that people used to throw around, like, if you could peel the cap off of a mushroom, it was okay to eat, or if it had a white spore print that it would kill you. It turns out that oyster mushrooms have white spore prints. Matsutakis have white spore prints. Parasol mushrooms have white spore prints. Tricholomas that grow by the cottonwoods have white spore prints. So there's no cutting corners to safe mushroom identification other than knowing each species. And one thing I would like to stress for beginners and people who are excited about mushrooms and don't know where to start, going online and looking at the social media sites is a good place to get information, but please don't rely on other people to identify the mushrooms that you found. It's a dangerous practice, and it could lead to problems. That said, there are a lot of mushrooms here in Oregon that are super distinctive. So oyster mushrooms fruiting on alder and maple logs don't really look like any other mushrooms. The morels can cause confusion. What we like to do is we like to split them in half. True morels will be hollow in the middle, and then the false morels will have these convoluted folds. So we don't want to be eating any mushrooms we can't safely identify. The morels, people have been picking them and eating them for tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of years. And they grow in the burn areas here. They grow in the riparian areas with poplars and cottonwoods. There's a bark mulch morel that grows. So they're up now. I've been seeing a lot of pictures. Just want to make sure that when you pick them that they're not in an area that's been exposed to pollution and that you can safely identify them. And the best way to do that with morels is to split them down in the middle to make sure they're hollow inside. The false morels are going to have folded, convoluted folds, and those should not be eaten. Don't eat morels raw. They have compounds that are similar to rocket fuel when you're cooking them. So make sure that when you cook them, you're not breathing in the fumes. And also, if you're going to be dehydrating mushrooms and then reconstituting them, a dehydrated mushroom that's been reconstituted is still a raw mushroom. So if people like to do that, if they like to try to make beef jerky with oyster mushrooms or morels, you have to parboil them first. And parboiling your mushrooms is just cooking them in hot water for 12 to 15 minutes and then draining off the liquid.
Do you have any favorite mushroom identification resources or places people can go to learn how to identify mushrooms themselves and not rely on the internet?
Right. That's a great question. There's many books. There's many papers. There's open source platforms on the internet. I brought here today my brochure, which doesn't really transfer well on radio, but it's called 31 Mushrooms of Portland, Oregon. And this is out of a potential 150 mushrooms that could be observed here in Oregon, in Portland. It'd be hard to find them all in one season, but if people know that there's an amazing amount of mycological diversity in Portland, they might pay a little bit more attention to it and, you know, take it up a little bit more than just a casual thing. The online places I like to go for beginners, and I don't use them as much as other people do, there's mushroomobserver.org. They've been around for 10 or 11 years, and they're actually having quantifiable data from people that submit their photos and other pertinent information around their finds. iNaturalist.org is another open source platform that people can use. You just take good pictures and follow the prompts, and then you can post your pictures. And some of the distribution lists that are coming from iNaturalist are going to be used in further research and data collection. The last one is called North American Mycoflora Project, and this probably has the best chance of engaging citizen science on a massive level. So the North American Mycoflora Project has groups in every area that know about mushrooms, and they can do certain things to, like, get mushrooms to the herbarium. They can have them sequenced. These three are super accessible for people, and if you don't want to go online for mushrooms, you can always check out All the Rain Promises by David Arora. That's the small pocket guide book that's, even though some of the names have changed, the mushrooms are still the same, and they're still in the same ecological niches.
And it still has the best pictures goofy people with mushrooms.
Yeah, the cover alone with the guy in the tuxedo getting ready for
a concert
with a bunch of golden chanterelles, it kind of stands out in your mind.
Awesome. So that resource, the 31 Mushrooms of Portland, is available on the food show website. It's kboo.fm, and just look for the food show. And also included in the brochure are all of those resources that Jordan just mentioned. We're going to take another short break to hear from our membership drive, and then we'll be back to talk more with Jordan.
And we've been listening to The Food Show on KBOO. The Food Show.
It is. It is The Food Show. That means it's the third Wednesday of the month. And I'm Ani. I'm here with Gwen. And we are, it's my pleasure, Gwen. We are here raising some support for KBOO. It is our spring membership drive. We have a little ground to make up this drive, and so it's crucial that we hear from you now, because, you know, this is a labor of love. This is a community radio made by members of the community, just like Emily, just like Tal, just like Gwen, just like Ray, who is in the air room, running the behind-the-scenes part of the show. We are all here doing this thing together, and well, the only thing really that we are missing is you. So please call right now, 877-500-5266, and join this absolutely passionate community of volunteers who come in and work together to create the programs that you rely on to keep you connected and informed and inspired all day long. Please connect back in with KBOO right now and become a member or renew your membership this morning. 877-500-5266. With your contribution of $60, that can be done just $5 a month or $60 all at once, you can have, we would love to thank you, with a pint of Be Sweet ice cream or a tub of Gonzo hummus, your choice for that contribution. And when you contribute at that level or more, just let our phone answer and volunteer know that you would like a pint of ice cream or a tub of gonzo hummus with your contribution as our way of saying thanks. And again, those were provided by Aviv, the vegan restaurant. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, and let us know that this is a program that matters to you, that where you are able to source your food matters to you, that the ethics of food and the politics of eating matter to you. Please call right now and say, yeah, you are inspired by the food show. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
You know, we get it that the amount of support a person can give, you know, it varies from person to person, but this is like a really easy way to get started. It's $5 a month, you know, and at that amount of donation, there's, a gift of some ice cream and some hummus from Aviv.
It kind of, you know, it sweetens the pot a little bit.
It does.
But you know that what you are really getting is KBOO in your ear. You are providing the platform for so many volunteers to come in and learn how to produce programs, to produce podcasts, to edit audio, to mix live music, mm-hmm. to learn the behind-the-scenes stuff. It's all very exciting, and you can do that, too. We have an open volunteer program, the monthly volunteer orientations to get people started. I'd love to talk to you more about that. When you come down to 20 Southeast 8th, you can join us in person and let me know that you're interested in volunteering, and we can talk a lot about what you're interested in doing and our training program that you're dollars support. So please do feed this community radio station that then metaphorically feeds the entire community all year round. Call us 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. It's quite quick. It's easy. You'll be talking to a volunteer who is passionate about our community just like you are. And it's a great way to get a little more involved in what's going on here in Portland and in the region. It's a great way to get involved with your community and show community support no matter where you are. You can join us online at kboo.fm or again, toll free 877-500-5266.
You know, the amount of programs that are available here for free is just amazing. There, like Ani said, there's all kinds of radio-type programs. There's engineering, there's being in the air room, there's being on the microphone, the news. All of these different programs are given out as classes for people who are interested to come down and be involved that way. Another way to be involved financially is to give us a call, 877-500-5266. You know, and think about a donation size that fits your budget. You know, we love you for all of it. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Pick a number that's good for you, that you can do, that's easy for your budget, and your support. You know, you're supporting an amazing group of people, your community. Make it part of yours.
Mm-hmm.
KBOO.FM.
And I'm going to say, here's a number. You know, for that $10 a month contribution, $10 a month adding up to $120 over the course of a year, you know that you are sponsoring an hour of KBOO because it costs about $108 every hour all around the clock to make this radio station go. That's including our transmitter fees, our electricity fees, our internet and phone fees, all of the equipment repair and purchasing, all of the things that go into creating community radio adds up to be about $108 an hour. So please sponsor an hour of KBOO, become a monthly sustaining member, give $10 a month and know that you are doing, you know, like an hour and 3.5 minutes or something like that. And that is your time. That is fantastic. Step forward. Become a KBOO member right now. 877-500-5266.
All right, everybody. We're back with Jordan Weiss talking about mushrooms. Jordan, beyond finding mushrooms in the forest, you also teach people how to grow their own mushrooms. What are the benefits to growing mushrooms in your garden?
One of the benefits for growing mushrooms in our garden is that we can have really powerful soil building allies in our garden. they can assist with different types of decomposition, and just by adding inputs like rotten straw, cardboard, wood chips, other kinds of organic material, we can turn that into soil, and we can also grow mushrooms in the process too. We do have a mushroom workshop coming up on Sunday, April 21st at the Brown Bottle Farm in Molino, Oregon, and it's part two of our Garden Bed King Straffaria and Make Your Own Oyster Bag hands-on workshop. We have some space available. I don't know if the link is up right now, but if people come by at 10 o'clock, they can get in, and we have a couple of King Straffaria kits, and we're going to do some other really cool things to show people how to get mushrooms to grow on their land.
Awesome. And let's say someone lives in an apartment or doesn't have any space in their yard. Where can they grow mushrooms? Can they grow them in their house?
So you can grow them in your house. There's container gardening projects that are very easy to get going. I know people who grow mushrooms in tubs. Some mushrooms, like oyster mushrooms, don't need as many fresh air exchanges as other types of mushrooms, like lion's mane or, you know, even worse, hen of the woods. So people do grow mushrooms in tubs. And you can also, there's a little unit called a Martha, which is, it's like a freestanding shelf. It's got three or five shelves on it, and it's got a plastic cover over it, and you can have a humidifier go in there. And if you put it on a timer, you can get mushrooms to fruit every few weeks. You can get a flush of mushrooms. So people are growing oyster mushrooms at home. They're growing shiitakes. Some people are growing the chestnut mushroom, which is the foliota. They're also growing pio pepinos. Some people are growing agaricus mushrooms indoors, but it's not as common. So there's lots of different ways that people can integrate, you know, mushrooms with low-tech protocols into their garden. And if you live in an apartment, you can grow them in buckets with a lid, or you can grow them in tubs, or even a small device called a Martha. There's plans online. I think it's open source plans.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit, right before the show started, you gave us all this delicious tincture. Tell us a little bit about your Fungibles company and the tinctures you make.
Okay. Well, Fungibles was started by me and three other people, and the two other people are, they're incredibly talented people. They work in biotech. One of them is a food patent attorney. They are the absolute best people to be working in this project, and I feel blessed to be working with them. Fungibles came together in June of 2018 after Jorn and I were talking for months about what the alternative healthcare market is like and how there's so little reliable products out there and there's a lot of snake oil. So we took our experiences with making tinctures, which we're using the folk remedy method, where you take mushrooms from the wilderness, you dry them out, and then you cut them up into slices and you soak them in alcohol. So Jorn has experience. He's got mad skills. And we were able to come up with our first batch, which is actually quite palatable. So we have a proprietary four-step process, and we're very proud to be offering food-grade mushroom and herbal extracts this time. And there will be more information on my blog on Fridays on when our upcoming sample and sales dates are.
And what's your blog?
My blog is jordansmushrooms.blogspot.com.
So if you go to jordansmushrooms.blogspot.com, you can find out where to buy them in the future?
Yes, and we'll have updates on Friday.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being here, Jordan. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, thank you so much. What a treat.
Yeah. I would like to mention that other people, or people want any more resources, they can go to the Oregon Mycological Society meetings. They're free and open to the public. Please check out the website before you go to any of these events, because the dates have been changing. It's wildmushrooms.org. And I would also like to thank Marisha Auerbach, incredible permaculture teacher and gardener and one of the best people I know here in Portland.
And a contributor to the food show.
Yay. And one more thing, don't eat any mushroom or plant you can't safely identify as an edible species.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jordan, for telling us about mushrooms. We're going to shift now to talking about what's happening in the state legislature. We're joined by Ivan Malasky, the policy director of Friends of Family Farmers. Thanks for joining us, Ivan.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. First things first, we're talking about mushrooms today. So what is your favorite mushroom?
I have a special place in my heart for the hedgehog mushroom. I think it's sometimes called the sweet tooth, or something like that. And it was the first mushroom I ever picked in the wild. But as far as cultivated varieties, the shiitake wins out for me.
So delicious.
Agreed.
So we wanted you on the air today because it's the legislative session is happening in Salem, and there's a lot of stuff around food and farming. So can you just give us an update about what's happening right now?
Sure. So Friends of Family Farmers, you know, we're a statewide group that supports small and mid-sized family farms and works with consumers that want to support good food policy. And we are now at the half point of the Oregon legislative session. What that means is that a lot of bills have sort of crossed the key threshold in order to stay alive for the rest of the session. And so a few I'd love to highlight include some pieces of legislation that will support our farmers market producers, and as well as low-income Oregonians that need access to healthy food from farmers markets. One of those is the Double Up Food Bucks program, which is a bill, Senate Bill 727A, that would provide $3 million for a program to essentially help folks who are on the SNAP program, formerly known as food stamps, double their money when purchasing, you know, vegetables and fruits directly from farmers at farmers markets or through CSAs.
And is that an increase from the past, or is it just a continuation?
It's an increase because the SNAP program is federally funded through the Farm Bill. Folks get a certain allocation, typically women, with infant children, seniors, other food stamp recipients, get a certain amount of money. And so in the past in Oregon, there's been some nonprofit foundations that have been able to offer these double up coupons, essentially, in some limited farmers markets. So this would be the first time the state of Oregon has actually invested state money into this to make it statewide so that every farmers market in the state could be participating. And so it would be a significant investment and increase to help support this kind of programming.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that bill, and I'm gonna kind of have a familiar refrain here, which is that bill is in what's called the Ways and Means Committee, which is where everything gets funded. And that's kind of where we were now in the part of the session where the legislature is making very tough decisions about what to fund, what not to fund, depending on how much revenue there is and these kinds of things. So the Double Up Food Program, Senate Bill 727A, is kind of on one of those key priorities for farm advocates, local food advocates, and healthy food advocates that is sort of in the mix in terms of what potentially could be funded, as long as, you know, folks call their legislators and offer up their support. A couple other things I would love to highlight for you include some bills that we've been working on to kind of help with the issue of beginning farmer access to land. This is a key challenge. The average age of farmers in Oregon is somewhere around 60 years old. Farmland prices are rising. We're facing a lot of competition from out-of-state farmland investors now. So it's difficult for younger folks in particular, or smaller producers, to get loans, even find land that's affordable, or to access low-interest lending. So there's three different bills we've been working on this session that have made it past the threshold. One is House Bill 3085, which would create a new family farmer loan program, which would kind of provide state-backed low-interest loans to smaller producers and beginning farmers in particular. It's modeled on a program in North Dakota that the Bank of North Dakota runs out there. It's been very successful over the years. There's another bill, House Bill 3090, which would create a new incentive program at the Oregon Department of Agriculture to provide tuition assistance or student loan debt forgiveness types of programs for beginning farmers, folks who study at an Oregon college or university or technical institute, and then go into farming. They could be potentially eligible for grants to help with tuition or student loan repayment. And then the last one is House Bill 3092, which is a beginning farmer tax credit. And this is essentially to try to encourage landowners who, you know, looking around at maybe they're older, they own land, but they lease it out to someone else. You know, a lot of times beginning farmers are in competition with, you know, grass seed production or you know, big commodity agriculture. And so we're trying to provide some sort of financial incentive for them to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and lease 10 acres to these young folks that are new to farming, that don't have a lot of money, and help them get those first, you know, small farm businesses started. So those kind of a slate of bills we're working on. We're, you know, we're optimistic. It's a tough funding environment in Oregon always, but hopefully we can get some positive things done to help with beginning farmer access to land.
That's awesome. We've just got about another minute to chat. So can you tell us about the mega dairies thing and then where people can find out more and keep getting updates about these issues?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So the mega dairy issue is something that, you know, your listeners may be familiar with. It's been in the papers a bit. Oregon is home to an increasing number of dairy operations that are exponentially larger than your typical family dairy farm. So we're seeing, there was a big proposal a few years ago for a 30,000 cow dairy farm. The average dairy farm in Oregon is like 200 or 300 cows. So we're seeing proposals now, 30,000 cows. There was a very prominent failure of one called Lost Valley, where, you know, they violated their permit 200 times. Their manure lagoons were overflowing. It was terrible, and it was finally shut down. And so we, in a coalition of environmental and animal welfare groups, brought some bills to the legislature this year to basically create a timeout. Let's take a timeout on new permits for these mega dairies until we figure out what the heck went wrong with Lost Valley and how we make sure it never happens again. Unfortunately, due to industry pressure, these bills died at the deadline. And so, you know, there's a lot of big out-of-state companies are involved in these mega dairies, and so they really pressure the legislature hard to kind of, you know, stop them from doing anything this session. So it's going to be an ongoing fight, I think, for folks to be aware of, that this is the changing face of this particular part of our agricultural sector in Oregon.
So Ivan, we've got to wrap up. Can you tell us where people can find out about all those other issues?
Absolutely. So at friendsoffamilyfarmers.org, you can always learn more information. We have a blog up there called Muck Boots in the Capitol, where we update folks on legislative happenings. And we've got a big event coming up May 14th in Portland, which you can also find out about on friendsoffamilyfarmers.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ivan. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we've been listening to The Food Show on KBOO, entering into the afternoon hours. We're here on our membership drive, our, you know, spring membership drive, looking for donations for you to help keep this station running, keep bringing programs like The Food Show to you. The number's 877-500-5266. And we throw that out right away because we know that you're sitting there waiting to hear this number again. That's so right. That you can call and give us a donation. So 877-500-5266.
Or online at kboo.fm. We know that you don't want to miss the program while it's actually, you know, when you're finding out information about the lion's mane mushroom and which mushrooms are the most nutritive and how to prepare them so that you can get the most nutrition out of them. This is really interesting. I love this program. I love so many of the programs on KBOO because, well, they're bringing us information straight out of our communities that have impact on our lives. And so right now is the time for you to impact this community radio station by becoming a member of KBOO or renewing your membership this morning, maybe increasing your sustaining membership. If you've been contributing $5 a month, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and bump that up a little bit and give us 1 hour's wage every month. If you are somebody who is employed, then please, what you make an hour, contribute to KBOO for a month. It's a great way to sort of even out your contributions. And when you're giving at $120 or more, we would love to thank you with a Democracy Now! T-shirt. We have that available. We have so many things available for you. And you know, what we really have is great community radio made by passionate community members.
Right, we do.
Call us, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
You know, we're a friendly bunch over here. We love to see new people. We love to see people coming in and getting excited about keeping our show on the air, keeping news coming to you, keeping all these different things coming to you, and keeping that little creeping edge that wants to take stuff away from us. You want to take some airwaves away from us. You want to take some news broadcasting away. No, you want to. No, we don't want to close in.
That's right.
We need your donations to keep pushing back on those that want to, you know, close us in. So 877-500-5266. Or online at kboo.fm.
I'm going to say we have just a couple of those gift certificates to Aviv, a $25 gift certificate. If you can call right now, we would love to thank you with that. With your contribution of $16 a month or more, give us a call at 877-500-5266 and avail yourself of not only great community radio and your participating in this rather exciting community, I gotta say, but you'll also get a $25 gift certificate to Aviv. 877-500-5266. You know, when you are a KBOO member, when you are a grassroots listener supporter to KBOO, you're actually promoting like cross-pollination of so many themes, topics, and ideas, because really, so many things are interrelated. How we eat, how we grow that food, how we treat the workers who are harvesting that food, how we treat animals, should we engage in animal eating? You know, all of these things, where we source our food, right? How, you know, are we doing that local? Are we eating in season? This has tremendous impact on climate disruption. This has tremendous impact on worker safety and worker justice issues. This has tremendous impact on our health and our communities. So please see how all of those dots are connected with your support of the food show and give us a call. 877-500-5266, because your call makes a big difference here at KBOO. You are one of our grassroots supporters carrying on and making a difference for the community. When you give generously, you keep us all stronger together. 877-500-5266. Consider contributing in a sustaining monthly way. Little bite-sized piece, $16 a month. Pick up that gift certificate. Let our phone answerers know that that's what you would like us to thank you with when you make that call. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
All right, friends, it's time for What's Going On Around Town. Friends of Family Farmers' next Informational event will be held on May 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. That'll be located at the Lagunitas Community Room. And Growing Gardens is hosting their inaugural community brunch. Celebrate local food, enjoy mariachi music, and support food justice in Portland. The event will be on May 4th at the Village Ballroom. You can get tickets at growinggardens.org. And our friends at Folklore have two events coming up. Brunch at Blank Slate, which they have every Sunday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. And on Friday, April 29th, join them for Folklore at Oasis. And you can get more information at folklorepdx.com. And if you like brunch with a pinch of drag, check out Recovery at the Red Drag Brunch hosted by Katya. This drag show brunch takes place every Sunday at the Radisson Red in Southwest downtown Portland. Check out eventbrite.com for more info. And then our friend Sakali Mitchell of Brown Sugar Bistro is throwing their monthly pop-up on April 23rd. This month's theme is A Taste of Spring. And get tickets while you can, because their last pop-up sold out really quickly. Check eventbrite.com for more tickets and info.
And if you have any events related to food, farming, gardening, anything like that, please let us know about them. We'd love to share them on air. Our email is foodshow@kboo.fm. That's foodshow@kboo.fm. We're also open. If you have something you want to talk about or hear about related to food, let us know what you're interested in.
Definitely send us events, because it would definitely help us out to spread the word and have more info on different things going on around town.
You know what, Tal? I never asked you. What's your favorite mushroom?
Well, I think I have two. I mean, definitely cultivated is abalone mushroom, which is a remarkable mushroom, which lends itself to being like a fish-like food that you can make, or you can grill it. It's really good grilled. Mm. And then, of course, I think most people's favorites, morels, which are just pretty much the most delicious mushroom on earth, and definitely taste super meaty.
Yeah.
And being a vegan, like, that is the closest thing to meat that I could possibly ever get.
best mushrooms.
What about yourself?
I just can't even play favorites. They're all so good. I even like button mushrooms and like mushrooms from a can on a pizza sometimes.
I don't know about the can, but I've definitely never met a mushroom I didn't like.
I love them all so much. So that's our show for today. If you missed any of the show or you want to find links and resources to our guests and their organizations, you can find the episode at kboo.fm. That's kboo.fm. You can also listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. We want to thank all our guests for being on today's show and our engineer, Ray. Stay with us this afternoon. We're going to start with Jazz Lives. Our next episode is going to be in June. We're actually skipping a month. We're going to skip May, and we'll be on air again June 19th at 11 a.m. Until then, I'm Emily Becker.
And I'm Todd Caspi. Thank you so much for listening.
It's hard to take risks. It's hard to take.